indeterminate growth. It's not been predetermined. There's nothing holding it back. There's nothing internal holding it back. Indeterminate growth. It will grow as long as you feed it, water it, prop it up, give it somewhere to go. That's who we are. That's what Jesus wants from his church. No question about it. No question about it. There's a story in Mark chapter 6 that I want to share with you. Really good story about determinate growth. About a bunch of guys who could only grow so far and they got stuck. Probably pretty familiar to you. Many of you are familiar with this story. Jesus feeds 5,000. And usually we kind of just stop at this story. Usually we just kind of go, wow, he just fed over 5,000 people. And we don't realize the kind of the teaching of what's going on here. So Mark chapter 6, verse 30, I'm going to walk you through this story, but I'm going to show you really where the author, Mark, probably with Peter's help, where they were really teaching us from this feeding of the 5,000. Follow along with me, please. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So, great story right there. The disciples kind of had it mapped out there. Man, we can't feed all these people. And Jesus said, "Oh, but we can." And so that story is how we teach it. But they're actually just beginning the teaching. Mark and I'm going to say probably Peter, I think there's a lesson underneath this feeding that he wants you to see. Watch what happens. Keep reading with me. Verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, this is a little bit of an unusual little phrase here. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their heart was hardened. We're going back up to the loaves now. So here's this day unfolding, and their life has been so hectic with Jesus, with literally thousands of people following them, that they can't rest, they can't find time to eat. And Jesus says, hey guys, let's get into the boat, sail over across and go to a desolate place and just rest a while. Just me and you. Let's just go there. Get away from all this just for a little bit. There they go, sailing across the northern end of the sea there, and they're just about to shore, and the crowd sees them, and the crowd starts gathering on the shore, and their little staycation is ruined. When they get out of the boat, there are thousands of people there waiting on them. And like Jesus, he has compassion, and he feels bad because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he begins to teach them. He just begins to teach them. So when it gets late, when the afternoon gets later, the disciples are what? Hey, send them away. Maybe we can salvage some of this night yet. Send them away into the villages to get some food. And Jesus said, no, why don't you feed them? And they've already, I mean, they're looking at it. They know the numbers. They've determined right in their mind. I mean, what, 200 denarii? That's a half a year's wages for an average man there. It's like, that's way too much money. You think I'm spending that much money on these people? Where would we get that? We can't do it. And Jesus says, well, go, let me see what you got. And so they do. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Sits them down. Says a blessing. Feeds 5,000 people. But their heart was hard. There was something about this. Their heart was hard. They weren't comprehending it. So when he sends them away, which had to make them upset, they're thinking they're going to stay with Jesus for the day and just hang out and rest. What's he do? He sends them away in the boat, and he stays with the crowd. And there they are out on the lake, man, just rowing. The wind's just whipping, and the got to be choppy, right? It's got to be choppy. And they're painfully making progress in the middle of the night. The fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They are out on the lake at 3 a.m. in the morning on a choppy, windy Sea of Galilee instead of at a staycation with Jesus in a desolate place with a pool. No wonder their heart was hardened. Man, did this day go south in a hurry. Now, I don't know why, but when he started walking across there, it says he meant to go by them. I don't know if he was like, man, I'm just going to let these guys row for a while. They're so hard-hearted. They didn't want to feed those people. They didn't want nothing to do with this day. They didn't care about that. They were just ready to go. I'm just going to let them row for a while. I don't know why, but he said he was going to go right on by them. But they saw him, or they thought they saw him, thought they saw a ghost, didn't they? And they started having a fit. You can imagine at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. What are you like at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning on a choppy lake and it's windy and something, some creature, something is walking across the water? I would be freaking out too. And so he stops and says, hey, it's me. It's me. Just hang on. It's funny is that Mark, maybe with Peter helping him, he skipped a part here, didn't he, in this story? Because this is a story that Peter walks on the water. Mark didn't put that in, and maybe Peter didn't want him to. I don't know. Matthew did, but at this point, it's Jesus. He says, it's me. And Peter says, well, if it's you, let me come over to you. And he does, and he begins to sink, and it's a little bit embarrassing. And Jesus and him come back to the boat and get in the boat. And the wind stops. And they were utterly astounded. They were beside themselves. Matthew says they worshiped him. This means they were on their face, coming apart at the seams. Ah, what just happened? Ah, I can't. You're the Son of God. What? And they are freaking out. Because they didn't understand about the bread and the fish and the 5,000. But their hearts were hard. They missed it. They missed the loaves. They missed that. And now they're on the lake and they're freaking out because they missed the previous afternoon of him feeding 5,000. Now this story is just actually getting started. In Mark chapter 8, same thing happens. He feeds 4,000. This is how hard the Pharisees are. He just feeds 4,000 more people. And you know the Pharisees are around. And they say, hey, show us a sign. Hey, show us a sign. Well, let me see now. I fed 5,000 yesterday and 4,000 today. I walked on water last night. Well, what kind of sign do you want? Neon flashing red lights? I mean, what do you want? They're looking for a sign, and let this be a lesson for us today. Don't look for a sign. Don't look for a sign. The Pharisees began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Verse 14, chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus and the disciples are back in the boat. Back in the boat, going to the other side. Verse 14, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Beware of their teaching. Beware of what they're trying to do here. Be cautious. Watch out for these guys. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke 5 loaves for 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 7. And he said to them, don't you yet understand? You are not getting it. What are you thinking? Their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hard. He has just done some amazing things. This has been an incredible day. And it's not clicking. And don't miss this point that it didn't click with feeding 5,000 and that hardness, that not clicking just carries right on to the next event, the next event, the next day, and the next day. Walking on water. Now he's feeding 4,000. And he says, just beware, beware of these guys. And they start looking in their bag for bread. We don't have any bread. What's he talking about? Their mind can't go from here to hear, and he's in front of them doing these things, and they don't get it. And he says the reason is your heart's hard. Your heart's hard. And you know as well as I know, when your heart's hard, what that means is nothing can get into it. It's hard. Nothing's absorbing into your heart. You're not taking this into your heart. It's hard. And you're just missing everything I do. You're missing everything I'm doing. Because you won't let it into your heart. You can't think past bread. You can't think past a loaf of bread. I've walked on water and you're just clueless here. Because you can't get your eyes off of this today. And let me come in and teach you. Isn't that amazing? I meet these people all the time, don't you? And we talk about the Word of God and these spiritual lessons, and we see Jesus doing some amazing things, and we're like, wow, man, God is working. And they're like, did you see this passage I read in the Scriptures? Man! And they're like, man, God is saving people and working in this church, and God is moving. I guess it was nice. Music was a little loud. Missing the whole thing. Day after day after day after day. They are determinate. They are determinate. They are going to go so far with what they can see and think and comprehend in their own little world here. They can't go any further. God is working all around them and they just can't get past that pew right there. That. You just can't. It makes no sense how heaven connects to earth. They have no eyes to see. And that's what he said. You have eyes, but you can't see. Ears, but you can't hear. You're not understanding, and it's not because they're stupid. They're very nice people. They're very smart. They're intelligent. They have high-paying jobs. It's that their heart's hard. They won't let Jesus come in to their heart, come into their being, come into their soul. They will not open the door and let him in. Hard, 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 hearted. Determinate. But an indeterminate Christian, you'll find in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you're not familiar with Psalm 119, you need to get familiar with Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And do you know what the theme is of Psalm 119? The longest chapter in our whole Bible. Do you know what the theme is for Psalm 119? The Bible. The Bible. The longest chapter in the Bible, and the theme is the Bible. Do you think God is trying to tell us anything at all here? Are you getting this part? Are you getting it? Okay, guys, wrote you a book, gave you a Bible. The longest chapter is on the Bible. It's amazing. Lesson number one. Listen to what this psalmist writes in verse 17. This is the section called Gimel, and maybe in a week or two I'll teach you a little bit about Gimel. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant. I want to be indeterminate, bountiful. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous, amazing things out of your law, Torah. I'm a sojourner. I'm a stranger. I'm an immigrant on this earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. My soul, in here, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Verse 23. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I'll stay right here in the Word of God. Thank you very much. Deal bountifully with me. Deal bountifully with me. I want to be 10-foot tall tomato plant with 200-250 tomatoes just everywhere. You got to climb a ladder to get up to them things. That's what I want my life to be. I like his perspective. That I may live. Deal bountifully that I might live. I just want to live. And I want to keep your word. Those two things. Deal bountifully with me. Give me life. Let me keep me alive. So I can keep your word. Let me ask you. Troubling days out there. What keeps you alive? What's in your wallet? What's really keeping you alive? He knew. Deal bountifully with me that I can live and walk and live in your word. That's what life is for. Life is for living in your word. It's for keeping your word. It's for following you. Deal bountifully with me so I can live. Be in your word. Bear crazy fruit. It's an indeterminate heart crying out, open my eyes. I don't want to be hard-hearted. I don't want to be blind. That same word for hard-hearted is used in Romans 11. And it said Israel's been blinded. Partially blinded. They can't see. The God of this world has blinded them. But this guy's reaching for the sun, man. Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes that I can behold wondrous things out of your law. You know, I've told you before how the Hebrew language is pretty colorful, pretty picturesque language. Their vocabulary, their language is small compared to many other languages, and it's very picturesque. So this word, open my eyes, it really means strip bare or lay naked. Now you wouldn't say that about your eyes. Lay my eyes naked. But you know what he's saying. Get everything out of my vision. Strip bare my vision so that I can see in your word amazing, wondrous things. Because our eyes are so full of things, aren't they? I see so many things with these eyes. I hear so much with these ears. I think about stuff all the time. And he's saying, man, you just carve away everything from my sight. That I can go in here and see amazing, wondrous things about you. Walk in your word and be indeterminate. There's no limits. If you just strip away everything out of my sight. lay bare what I'm looking at. Open my eyes. We need to pray that. I need to pray that. My eyes are roaming, man. My eyes are like, I want that. I want to go there. I want that. Well, I want to do that. I want to. My eyes are roaming. Hey, stop. Clear it all away. Lord, 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 Lord. Strip it all away so I can see you. I can see the wondrous, amazing, bountiful things of you in your word. I can live. I can really live. I'm just a stranger on the earth, he said. I'm just, this is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm an immigrant. Don't hide your commandments from me. That's my home. That's what I need. My soul, my heart's not hard. It's consumed. It's literally broken with longing. Longing. For your righteous judgments. Boy, if your soul doesn't long this day for the righteous judgments of God, you haven't watched TV lately. That's insane. I'm begging the Lord for some bit of sense, some bit of rightness, some bit of truth. Is there any left on this planet? I'm tired of watching this. This guy's soul is broken with longing for your rule. Even though princes, as a king, I suppose that's what happens, right? Other princes, maybe people in your own family, and we know something about David, so even people in his own family were plotting against him. You would think, oh yeah, I got people plotting against me. They're sitting at their table with their men, and they're kind of plotting, how can they get me? Let's see, what do I need to do? I need to go to the gun store. I need to lawyer up. What else do I need to do? This world's going to hell in a handbasket. What do I need to do? Food. I need to stash food. Man, ammunition is selling like crazy right now. Have you seen that? Did you look on the news? Ammunition is selling like crazy. If you were a distributor of ammunition, you would be wealthy right now. David says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to your word. I don't know what these guys are thinking against me out here. I don't know what this world is plotting against me out here. They're going to close our churches. What they're going to do, I don't know what they're doing. I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going in your word. I'm just going to walk with you, Jesus. I'm just going to walk with you, right, according to your word. That's all I need. All I need. Don't hide it from me. Don't hide your commandments from me. I'm begging you. Don't hide it. I want to see wonderful, amazing, crazy things from you walking in your word. I want a bounty. This is my counsel. This right here. This is my counsel. Thank you. What's really cool, the word counselors there, the word men is in there, but it didn't translate that way. It said counselors. It's councilmen. My cabinet. My advisors. It's here. It's not in a room somewhere with a big table. It's right here. They're plotting against me. They're going to get me. I'm going to the word because you're big enough. Your testimonies are my delight. They're my joy. They're my joy. This is my joy. Plot all day long against me. This is my joy. You can't have it. You'll never take it. This is my joy. That's an indeterminate Christian right there. There's no limit on what that person can do. There's no limit unless God has a limit. There's no limit. Whatever this world throws at them, there's no limit. Because they're going to the Word. They're going to God. They live for His Word. And unless they stop God, they will not stop me. That's an indeterminate Christian. And the fruit, well, I ask you, what kind of fruit did he bear? David. Psalm writers. What kind of fruit has the Psalms bore over the years? Don't you think you can't? Don't you for a minute. Don't you for a minute. Right now, I am talking and I am telling you your life and your fruit and your influence for the kingdom of God can be indeterminate. Don't you dare for a second sit there in that pew and say, yeah, but I want to be determinate. Don't you do it. This is who we're going to be. If you let him in. If you get rid of that hard heart and say, Jesus, open me. Lay bare my eyes and my heart. Make me indeterminate. Come in. Take away all limits. You know what one of the best examples of a determinate tomato plant is? A determinate tomato plant. You know what one of the best examples is? It's a patio tomato plant. You got a patio tomato plant?
Not anymore.
It's gone. There you go. A patio tomato plant. You can go to Lowe's and buy these rascals. They're already in a pot. You take them home, you put them on your patio or on your deck. There they are. They're going to produce 5 or 6 tomatoes. It's already gone. Why? Why are they so popular? I don't know. You get about 2 sandwiches out of it. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I'll tell you why. Because they're small and tidy, out of the way, easy to take care of. I can walk out of my kitchen with a cup full of water, and I can walk over there and water it. I'm not out tilling up my yard. I've got a beautiful, immaculate yard. I'm not about to start tilling and moving and pulling hose and watering and weeding. Nope, I got this little baby right here on my patio, and he is tidy, and there's room. And if I don't like it there, I can pick it up and I can move it over here. If my friends come over and we're going to have a big party on the deck, I can move it even off the deck if I want. If it's in the way, I can move it over here. It's portable. Doesn't take up time. Doesn't take up energy. It's real manageable. Christianity for a lot of people too. I just want it tidy and movable and easy and not time consuming, not taking a lot of energy. My friends come over, it might not look right. I want to sit it around back over here, out of the way. That's not at all what Jesus wanted. Jesus wants bountiful Christians, amazing Christians. Open hearts to receive His Word. Let His Word come in. Grow those rascals. Grow us. 10 feet tall. Obviously I'm asking us to open our hearts to Jesus. Let him come in and have all your soul. You might think I'm also kind of asking you to read your Bible, right? And some of you are reading your Bible, but it's just not getting in. You won't let it in. I'm really not asking you to read your Bible or be in the Word. It's really more than that. What I'm asking us, if you're this determinate Christian that is just, you can't get it, what I'm really asking you is to open your heart and to know that the Word of God is a lens to see God with. He's going to show up where He tells you He's going to be. If He says, go and do this, go this way, be this, I'm going to be there. You're going to see me on that path where I'm telling you to go. And you're saying, no, I can't do that. I only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. We can't do that. You're not going to see Him. This is the lens to see Him on the road of life. So that you can come in here and be crazy with the rest of us and go, I saw God. This is the lens we look through. If you really want to see the living God, I'm not asking you to just read it. You'll read it and you won't get it. I'm not just asking you to be in it. I'm asking you to let it be in you. Let it have you. It's life to your soul. You'll be safe in God's love there. You'll abide in Christ there. You'll bear much fruit. And the Word of God will not be a priority for you. The Word of God will not be a priority for you. The Word of God will be a necessity for you, like the air you breathe. It will be your daily bread. It will be the air, the very air that you breathe. It's not a priority. It's life. And it's a lens. Man, is our world searching right now? Man, is our world out there just searching, searching, searching for justice, searching for peace, searching for truth, searching for something? People are searching. Their hearts are hungry. Their hearts are just aching for something. They don't know what. I'm amazed that so many churches want to imitate culture when culture leaves them so empty. How can a church imitate a culture when a culture is burning down? And we want to be just like culture. Christians are imitating the unsaved because life is so good. It's fake. It's powerless. It's joyless. And they're looking for it. They're looking for what we have. They're looking for the joy and the power of Jesus Christ alive, seen by us, followed by us, lived out as we crave. Our souls are broken for Him in the Word of God, and that's what they're looking for. And we're going to act like the world? We're going to make our church like culture? We're going to be allured and attracted by the same things they are. Whoa. They're starving for love. They're starving for joy. They're starving for an anchor to grow on. They're starving for fruit. They want to change the world too. And we have the only thing that will grow unlimited. Fruit, joy, peace, and love. I'm so surprised. Churches want to be just like that. When it leaves so empty and the culture looks at us and go, huh, they're trying to be like us. Sorry, I've got all of us we need. I'm looking for an answer, man. I'm looking for something real. I'm looking for some real hope. Some real power. Real love. So, if your version of Christianity is a road trip with Jesus out into the wilderness, or you can just sit around and eat a little bread, cook a cup of fish, and just hang out with the Master, you might get disappointed. Because the minute he sees a crowd of people, he's going to stop. And he's going to walk over to that crowd. And his heart's going to break for that bunch of sheep. And he's going to start teaching them. And then he's going to want to eat with them. And your day's going to be shot. And he'll probably send you away at the end of the day because you're so hard and mad and upset and stressed out. You're no earthly good. And he'll take care of the crowd, thank you. But if you want to see amazing, earth-shattering truth, power. You want to see him feed 5,000 people with all only thing this little church can muster? If we took up a collection right now, we'd be lucky to get $200 out of this place. And then he'd say, give it all to me. And we're going to feed the world. You want to see that? You want to see the living Savior come alive in this little place? Well, you're either going to think what we can't do or what's unlimited. What's unlimited? To us and you. So which is it? Who are you? You determinate, you indeterminate. You sit around most of your days thinking what you can't do or what's possible if I just open the door and let him in. What's possible? And I'm telling you, you can't think of what's possible. You can't get to that end. You'll never figure it out because there is no end. There is no end to an indeterminate Christian. An indeterminate believer. Lord, it will take your grace. It will take your love. It will certainly take your word and your Holy Spirit to crush our hard hearts with a giant hammer. Crush our hard hearts into small little fragments. Strip bare our eyes from everything we're looking at so that we can just see you. Help us, Lord. There are some here. Just don't get it. Just don't get it. Help us to rest in all you can do. Throw in the trash what we can't do. And see you in all your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Without one plea, it means I don't have anything to say on my behalf. Nothing. I bring nothing to the cross. I bring nothing. Without one plea, just as I am, open. Coming to you, Lord. Coming to you. I want fruit like the stars of heaven. I want to see wondrous, amazing, beautiful things from the living God. And I shut my mouth and open my door. Come on in. Come on in. They're going to sing one last stanza of that one more time. If that's your prayer, right in your heart, right where you're at,